My name is Robert Williams. I am the assisting pastor here at the church, which means I just help everybody else. We are continuing in our study of the book of Acts, Acts of the Sent Ones. And if you want to turn to chapter 16, we're going to read out of our narrative to begin with, and then we're going to take a thought out of that and go off and talk about something else. Talk about the point of the story here. In chapter 16, starting at verse 6, Paul and his companions traveled throughout the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been kept by the Holy Spirit from preaching the word in the province of Asia. And when they came to the border of Mysia, they tried to enter Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them to. So they passed by Mysia and went down to Troas. During the night, Paul had a vision of a man of Macedonia standing and begging him, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." After Paul had seen the vision, we got ready at once to leave for Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. And I'm not happy with the way the wires are doing me today. Maybe that'll be a little more out of my eyesight. Being led by the Holy Spirit is what I want to talk to you about this morning. We see in this passage of Scripture that Paul and his company of missionaries are traveling all around the Aegean Sea. If we had a map up, you would see where all of these places are. But it said that the Holy Spirit had prevented them from preaching the gospel in Asia. And that seems very odd to us, doesn't it? That the Holy Spirit had kept them from preaching the gospel. It's like, wow, I thought we were supposed to preach to everybody all the time. But obviously, Paul and his people had some sense, some idea or some feeling that God, the Holy Spirit, was keeping them from doing that. Now, how many of us can tell when God, something that we believe is absolutely right and good and should be doing, that we even believe maybe in our mind that we've been told to do, and yet when we try to go do it, there's something stopping us, something hindering us, something holding us back. How many of us would recognize that as the Holy Spirit? I'm going to bring out a lot of just thoughts that I have. There's a lot of points and thoughts this morning, and it may or may not all seem like it's in a sequence or in an outline, but I think by the time I get through, you will have gotten the point that I want to make this morning. So you thought I forgot, didn't you? I thought I forgot. And I did move the slide. What would you think our circle of discipleship for today is? Somebody want to guess which one I'm going to bring up? Get going. Okay. Help me, Kathy. What happened? There we go. Get going, stepping into mission. Paul and his company, they were on the move. They were on the move. They were following God's command, his order to go, when they began to meet these resistances. But it was as they were going. And in the Great Commission, it says, you know, as you are going, if you read the Greek, and I don't read Greek much, but I do look up certain words, and there's this thing we're going to talk about in a minute. It's a continual tense that means as you are continuing to go to do something. And so they were continuing to go, stepping out into mission when God said, nope, don't go here, don't go here, go here. So that's get going this morning. So what does it mean to be led by the Spirit? Or another phrase we see in Scripture is to walk in the Spirit. We may have some ideas of what that means to us as individuals. But what does the Word say about it? And not our religious ideas or not our experiences, but what does the Word say about being led by the Spirit, walking in the Spirit? I want to go back to the words of Jesus in the Gospel of John when he is foretelling about the Holy Spirit coming. He has told him that, you know, he's going to leave and that the Holy Spirit is going to come and be another comforter to them. And then he says, but when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will glorify me because it is from me that he will receive what he will make known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said the Spirit will receive from me what he will make known to you. First off, I want to point out, do you notice the triune conversation in this verse? It's much like in Genesis 1 when God said, let us. Here in this verse, Jesus is speaking to his disciples, but he's talking about, you know, I receive what the Father has given me, and then I, the Spirit of truth, is only going to give what he's gotten from me. And so there's this conversation, there's this teamwork among the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit to bring the Word, to bring the truth. And so the Holy Spirit the voice of the Holy Spirit is the voice of Jesus. And this is a maybe kind of a strange point, or maybe it's redundant or doesn't even need to be said, but to me, I found it kind of interesting. Because we tend to separate the Holy Spirit and Jesus and God in our thinking of the Trinity, and we have them as distinct persons. But here, Jesus said, the Holy Spirit's not going to say anything but by me, and the Holy Spirit's going to glorify me. And when we looked in Acts chapter 16, it says, when they came to the border of Mysia, they tried to enter Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them to. In the verse right before that, he said, but the Holy Spirit had prevented them. So, are there two voices or one voice? Only one voice. The Lord our God is one God. And so I just thought it interesting that the voice of the Holy Spirit, when we're being led by the Holy Spirit, that is the voice of Jesus speaking to us today. And I just had never really thought about that and chewed on it a little bit. So I challenge you to, you know, when we're talking about, and some of us, you know, we have our pet part of the Trinity, don't we? All of us, we kind of have our favorite God. Is some of us is Father. Father, 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 Father. We talk about the Father all the time. Daddy God, Father, Father, Father. Some of us is Jesus. Everything is Jesus, 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 Jesus. And then some of us, it's the Holy Spirit. You know, the Spirit, the Spirit, the Spirit. Don't you? Don't have you recognized that before? That some of us seem to, even when we pray, some of us is Father God, Father God, Father, Father, Father. And others is Jesus. It's okay. Nothing is right or wrong, but our God is one. And I'm not I'm not one of those. But our God is one. And so they're not going to speak anything different. So that's the other point I wanted to make, is there's no division in God. He's going to speak the truth. It's going to be the same truth, whether it's the Father, the Son, or the Holy Spirit speaking. There's just not any contradiction. Look at Romans 8:14. It says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. And some translations say the children of God. This is where wanted to get to that continual print, the tense again, the continual present tense. It says, for as many as are regularly being led. It's a continual thing. If you are a child of God and you are seeking the Lord and you're walking with the Lord, you should be continually listening for His voice, continually seeking His will, continually looking to Him for the answers and for direction and for guidance. It's a continual thing. It's not just when we get in a bind that we need guidance from the Holy Spirit. It's not just when we have a need or a problem that we go running to God and say, oh, Daddy, I need this, I need that. Gimme, gimme, my name is Jimmy. You know, that's not being led by the Spirit. It's every day when we wake up. It's every day when we go to our jobs or go to school, as we lead our families, as we pay our bills, as we cook our meals, as we make choices and decisions about every aspect of our lives, that we're in this conversation with Jesus, the Holy Spirit, the Father, asking Him to speak and to lead us and to guide us as we make those choices and make those decisions, regularly being led, continuing. For as many as are regularly being led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons and daughters of God. And the word here is not really talking, even though some have translated it children, it's not talking about babies and infants. The word there is for a mature, full-grown adult son. If you are regularly being led by the Holy Spirit of God, you will be mature in your walk with the Lord. Because He will grow you up. He will train you and discipline you and bring you into that maturity so that you can walk and rely on what you're hearing from Him every day and be a mature, full-grown, adult person who walks in the Spirit, not as a child, not as an infant. What keeps us from hearing God's voice? Like a child, tying back to that thought or that idea, how many of you have small children or even teenagers? They don't have to be that small. How many of you have called them and asked them to do something, or you're talking to them and you're saying, you know, come here, or, you know, Johnny, Johnny, and Johnny's over there. Johnny, seems like he's deaf, doesn't it? You would swear that their hearing has totally failed because they don't hear you. They're being immature, they're being childish, but they do hear. We know that they do hear us when we call them, but they choose not to listen. They choose not to give us their attention. They ignore us and even want to pretend and want us to believe that they can't hear us. It's the same way with immature baby Christians. We are so focused sometimes on what we are doing at the moment, what we want to do, what occupies us, what entertains us, what makes us feel good, what is working for us at the moment. That's what we're wanting to do and what we're focusing on, and we are just tuning out the voice of God, the voice of the Spirit, because we're not ready yet. Not now, you know, in a minute. Don't you hear that when you call your kid? In a minute. I was just, oh, I love that one. Kids on the school bus, I'll correct them and, you know, whatever they're doing. I was just whatever. When God calls us, not now, I was just, we're not ready to surrender our lives, and completely obey, and therefore we're not willing to truly hear what he might say to us. We might even be afraid of what God might say to us to do. He might ask us to do something we're not willing to do because we're not surrendered, because we're not ready to obey. And so we tune out his voice, or we just ignore it, or we suppress it, or we push it aside when he starts to speak to us. And if you do that long enough, your ears do go deaf. You literally don't hear. That child in front of that video game, after a few, times, you just quit calling him, don't you? Generally, or you go unplug the thing. Hey, there's a message there. Don't wait for God to come unplug your toy and shut you down in order to get you to hear his voice. Galatians 5:16-25. He says, "But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. For the flesh sets its desire against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. For these are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things that you please. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit." And you can tell I skipped through a few verses there. The Spirit and the flesh and the law, he's talking about here in Galatians. And a lot of Galatians is about legalism and bondage to the law and bondage to religion. He says, if we walk by the Spirit, we will not fulfill the desire of the flesh. So I think the converse of that is if I'm pursuing my desires and doing what my flesh wants to do, I'm not being led by the Spirit. There is no try, only do. Somebody got that. I probably didn't quote it quite right. Do or do not. There is no try. Something like that. It's either or. That they're in opposition to each other, it says here. We cannot pursue our own desires and our own will and do what we want to do and at the same time be led by the Spirit. Now, yes, there is an aspect of God the Father wanting to bless his children and wanting to give us good things and to bless us with material things. And he will give you such blessings both materially and spiritually if you are obeying and walking with him. And he will, the scripture says he will give you the desire of your heart. And a lot of people like to take that and make that their mantra. But it's only when you're being obedient and walking by the Spirit that you can count on him giving you the desires of your heart. If you're trying to get it for yourself, if you're trying to use your own will, your own strength, and your own power, and your own goals and abilities to pursue those things, you're not relying on the Spirit, you're pursuing the will of the flesh. And you're trying to make something happen in your own strength, in your own will, and you're going to hit a brick wall. It's only when you're led by the Spirit that he will lead you and guide you into his truth and into the calling and the mission, back to Paul and his company, to keep you on his mission, his purpose, and along the way as you're going, as you're continually being led, then he's going to add all these things, it says, to you, and you won't have to pursue them in your own flesh, in your own will, in your own strength. Verse 18, it says, "But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law." Another idea, the law. Let me ask you a question. Would you rather have a map or a personal guide? I have a couple of examples, word pictures here to share on this. I spend a lot of my life on the water over my lifetime as a child and growing up, and I love the water. I love boats and everything about fishing and that. I'm a scuba diver, although I haven't gotten to go in a long time. Used to have a pretty good-sized boat. Used to go out over in the Gulf, out of Crystal River and Homosassa, and scuba dive and spearfish and bottom fish. And I was kind of on my own. I mean, we had some charts, and we had a depth finder, you know, sonar that would show us the bottom, and we had GPS that you could put in certain points that would take you out in the, you know, out in the Gulf. But, you know, once you get outside of land, how many of you ever been out in a not so big a boat outside of land? You can't see anything but water everywhere you look. You got a compass to tell you which way is north, and if you have your wits about you, you can kind of keep north and the coastline in your mind as to where it is. But it all looks the same. And you're relying on this digital electronic instrument to try to show you the bottom. And fish only live in certain kind of structure. Out in the Gulf, they only live around rocks and debris and big piles of where the bottom is uneven. If the bottom is flat and sandy, there is not any fish there. Believe me. I've looked for them. Kevin knows what I'm talking about. I've jumped overboard and gone down there and just nothing but sand as far as I can see, and there's nothing. I occasionally would get some fish. I occasionally would find the bottom where I was looking for it, and we would get on some fish, and we'd bring back lots of grouper and snapper and all those good things. Been a bunch of times and got nothing. On the other hand, I've been out with a professional fishing guide, and he had all the same equipment that I had. He didn't waste any time. Zoom, got the fastest boat in the water, he'd take us right out there, drop the anchor on the rock, you drop your lines over, you get fish. Like that. Because he knows, he's a guide. He's been there before. He knows the way. He knows how to do it. He knows all of everything about it. And he can guide you and save you all of that trouble. And it's reliable. I mean, you pay good money and they're reliable. You go out, you almost are guaranteed you're going to come home with fish. Another example, last summer, Sean, Scott, and I forget who else was with us, went on a whitewater rafting excursion up in North Georgia, Tennessee. And again, I like boats and canoes and all of that stuff, and I've been on a few rivers or whatever, but it's something I had never done. And we had this gal on the raft with us, and there were, I guess, about eight of us all together, as a guide on the raft for the whitewater rafting. And she knew exactly where every turn and every rock and every waterfall and dip and everything about it. And she knew when to tell us to turn the boat this way, to turn the boat that way. You know, everybody row on this side, everybody row on that side, everybody oars up. And she's calling the signals all the way down. And I don't know, it was an hour, hour and a half trip down this river. I would not dare have done that on my own with just a map of that river. I'd have died, almost certainly. But with a guide, a guide who knew the way, calling the signals and telling us what to do and telling us when to turn and all of that, it was easy. It was fun. It was just go along with the flow of the river and do what you're told to do. That's the way living by the Spirit is, walking in the Spirit. He is our guide. It said back in John, Jesus said, when the Spirit of truth comes, He will guide you into all truth. He is our personal guide. The law, though, was like a map. The Jews were given the law, the do's and do nots, and it told them all of the right things to do and wrong things to do and all the pitfalls. And, you know, if you just do everything perfectly, you'll get there. And that's one way. But nobody could do it perfectly. Nobody could follow the law. Nobody could keep the law. That's why we need the Holy Spirit, because we're not capable of reading all the rules and doing everything just right on our own. We're going to fail. We're going to mess up somewhere. No map needed. He said, if you're following, being led by the Holy Spirit, you are not under the law. We in the church sometimes forget this, and we tend to default into legalism real easily. When we don't know what to do, when something we see doesn't fit our preconceived notion of how it should be, rather than seeking the Lord and listening to the Holy Spirit, we tend to fall back onto the law, don't we? And the thou shalt's and the thou shalt not's and do this and don't do that, because that's what is easiest for us. But if we're walking in the Spirit, those situations and circumstances and people, sometimes we encounter people and it's like, I don't know what to do with this. And so we try to bring out the law and we beat them on the head with the law, rather than asking the Lord, how should I respond to this person? How should I respond to their lifestyle? How should I respond to their seeking you? Rather than try to bring them back into the law and teach them how to do it in their own strength, rely on the Holy Spirit to speak what they need, to give us that word of knowledge, that word of wisdom that can speak into their life. I'm going to talk a little bit about prophecy in a moment and the Spirit speaking through us to others so that they can hear the truth by the Holy Spirit. Are you willing to trust and obey your guide? You get in that boat down that river, you've got to. You've got to be willing to trust and obey your guide. You've got to do what they tell you to do. When they say right, go right. When they say left, go left. That's what Paul and his company were doing as they were going from town to town. And he said, nope, don't go here, don't go here. Nope, I want you to go there. And they were listening, and they were willing to obey, even when it didn't make sense to them. A few examples, a lot of examples, real quick. I'm not going to cover all of these. Noah, when he was told to build a boat, the Spirit of God spoke to him. There had never been a drop of rain fell on the earth. It's going to flood, build a boat. What's a boat? Abraham was told to leave where he was. God led him. Leave your country in Ur and go to the land I'll show you. I'm not even going to tell you where we're going. Just start walking. Moses, in leading the children out of Israel, after all he had been through in Egypt and he had found a good home in Midian, but yet God said, nope, go back to Egypt and lead the people out. And he had to rely on walking by the Spirit. The story of Esther, I want to throw in a few ladies in here. Just it occurred to me, all the stories are always about men, so it's like, yeah, I know we need to cover. And Naomi, the Ruth House girls, all everybody knows the story of Naomi and Ruth being led by the Spirit, shown what to do and where to go to be in the right place at the right time for God to fulfill his call and blessing. But they had to hear the voice of God and obey. Obedience is an important part. If we're only hearers only, he says, you're fooling yourself. If we're only hearers of the word and not doers of the word. David, Elijah, my favorite. He is absolutely my favorite character in the Bible. Elijah, God showed him where to find food and water throughout this famine and drought throughout the land. And he went here, and then when the brook dried up and the ravens quit, he went here, and the lady fed him with, you know, just a little bit of meal, and they ate there, and then he told him to leave and go here. And just walking by the Spirit, being led by the Spirit, hearing the voice of God. In the New Testament, John the baptizer, Anna the prophetess, who went to the temple and prayed every day, and then one day she was there and she met Mary and Joseph with 8-day-old Jesus in their arms, and she got to see salvation that day. Of course, Jesus says he was driven by the Holy Spirit into the desert, into the wilderness, to be tested by Satan. The Holy Spirit drove him to the desert to be tested by Satan. Now, wrap your mind around that one. We don't like that, do we? That the Holy Spirit would test us in that way. See, sometimes it's difficult, and I'm going to talk about that in a minute, it's difficult to always discern, especially because of our flesh, what is the voice of God and what's not. There are times when God will tell us to do things that our flesh just absolutely resists and balks at because it just doesn't seem or feel right. The apostles, the story of Philip, we've talked about him in the book of Acts, hearing the voice of God, being in the right place at the right time, and being obedient, even to the point that he was carried away by the Spirit, physically. The Antioch church said they were praying and fasting and worshiping God, and the Holy Spirit said, "Separate to me Paul, Saul, and Barnabas." And then the story this morning of Paul and his company, and several stories of Paul throughout the epistles. So how does the Spirit speak to us today? How do we hear the voice of God? What should we be doing if we want to hear the voice of God? First, the written word. He speaks to us through the written. He has given us the Bible, the canon of Scripture, to teach us and instruct us. And by the enlightenment of the Holy Spirit, as we read, he will reveal truth to us. He will teach us his ways. So read the word. We've started read the Bible through in a year. I encourage you to do that and to hear God speaking to you from the word as you read. The inward voice. And this is where it gets a little more confusing, isn't it? Because many times, because of our flesh and our mind and our intellect, we might hear something and we're not sure. Is it God or is it me or is it the devil? Or is it the pizza? What is it that's speaking to me? But the Spirit will speak to us in our inward man, our inward voice, and learning to be sensitive to that. And to do that, like that child, we got to turn some things off. We got to tune some things out and get quiet and really listen. Back to Elijah when he went to the mountain and the earthquake and the storm and that. And it said the voice was not there. It was not there. But then there was the still, small, quiet voice that he heard speaking to him. There's the spoken word, preaching, teaching, and prophetic utterances. God speaks to us through others, and especially through the preaching and teaching of his word. He uses this time to speak to us. He is speaking to you right now, things in your life, things that you recognize that I've already said, that you recognize, yeah, I do that. I need to surrender that. Yes, I need to listen more. I need to read more. Circumstances. Sometimes God, if he can't get us to hear the inward voice, he will intervene in our lives to get our attention. He will unplug the Game Boy, the Xbox. He'll shut down the power. Gets real quiet when the power goes off, doesn't it, Crystal? Gets, you know, dark and quiet, and there's not a lot you can do but hear God, right? Take all of our distractions away. Sometimes he opens and closes doors. We're familiar with that idea. Again, back to our story this morning, the book of Acts, there was a door closed and there was a door that was opened. And learning to discern as we are going through circumstances, what is God saying in this circumstance? And it's not always obvious. It's not always the easy route. Just because something is easy doesn't mean that's an open door. Sometimes that easy way might be an imitation, a false way to just try to get you to take it easy. He speaks to us through spiritual leaders, pastors, teachers, elders, and wise counsel. There's other people who have been given a gift by the Holy Spirit, words of knowledge and wisdom and discernment to be able to help you and to be able to speak to you and help you hear the voice of God through the things that they speak. They have a gift in that area. We know several men that we look to, and women, that we look to sometimes for special counsel, because maybe it's just we're too close to the situation, or maybe we haven't surrendered everything and we're trying to hold on to different aspects of a situation or a circumstance, and so we need a third party with the gifts of the Spirit and the gift of discernment to help us, to give us counsel. Scripture says, in the multitude of counsel, let a thing be established, or in the mouth of two or three witnesses. Confirmation is something that we believe God will do. He will speak words of confirmation through trusted, wise counsel to things that He's already been trying to speak to us, but we maybe haven't quite discerned it or haven't quite gotten a hold of it, and then someone else will speak it, and it's confirmation, and we know, okay, that was God. At the same time, there are things that might be, and I'm underlined, might be counterfeit voices. Not that they're always going to be counterfeit, but there's unreliable prophetic voices. Men and women who have a gift and they speak prophetic utterance, but they're not really completely reliable. Sometimes they have the right word and sometimes they don't. And we have to be able to discern that. We cannot just rely on that one single thing. Take it and combine it with the inner voice that God has already been speaking to you. Combine it with what does it say in His Word. Combine it with what do my elders and pastors say. What does the trusted wise counsel say? Because they will, if it's the Spirit of God, they will all speak the same thing. Because there's no division in God. The Spirit is not going to say something that Jesus is going to disagree with, or that's going to contradict His written Word. Finances. And here again, God can use your finances to get your attention. If you're too preoccupied with making money and getting things and managing money and you're very money focused, He has a way of getting your attention. In the stock market, if you're an investor in the stock market, takes a big plunge, you take up and take notice, don't you? When your bills get to be more than your paycheck, you start seeking the Lord, don't you? At the same time, that's not always necessarily God speaking. It could be. And I don't mean to confuse you this morning as much as I want you to understand that we have to rely on all these things together. We can't just take one situation. Just because your finances are getting bad doesn't mean that God is trying to get your attention. It might be that you're on the right track and the enemy is trying to steal God's provision and trying to hinder and stop the work of God in your life, and you need to rebuke the devourer. You need to make sure you're paying your tithes, not that we're legally bound to that, but you need to look at some things. He's got your attention, wants you to look at some things so that He can pour out blessings more abundant. Our jobs, sometimes, you know, people lose jobs. For some people, getting fired is the best thing that ever happened to them. I've seen people, they are in a dead-end job or in a job that they really have no passion for. They really are just punching a clock, putting in time, drawing a paycheck. Their heart's not in it. They're not really even, you know, doing a very good job, and that's usually why they lose their job. But God has something else, and He brings them around. So it could be either or, couldn't it? It could be good, it could be bad. It might be a counterfeit. God's, you know, doing something else, or it might be God, it could be God working. Your relationships and emotional, how you feel about things, they're not reliable. Your emotions are very volatile. And so many times we confuse, especially in charismatic and, quote, Pentecostal streams, we confuse emotional experiences with the Spirit of God. Because, truthfully, when the Spirit does move, we can get emotional. It does touch something in us that causes our emotions to become sensitive, but that doesn't mean every time we get emotional that that's the Spirit of God. It can be a counterfeit. And there are plenty of people who know how to manipulate your emotions, who know how to work you up and get you all stirred up and get you excited and energized. They really has nothing to do with the Spirit of God, but yet we say they're anointed or they're charismatic. And all it is they know how to manipulate people's emotions. Selfish ambition, covetousness. Oh, I know God wants me to have that thing. God showed me He wants me to have a house like that one, or a car like that, or a boat, or a plane, or whatever, or a better job, or better spouse. God wants me happy, and God has shown me He's got this person here for me. I've heard that. I've heard people actually claim that God was telling them to leave their spouse because He had something better for them. Craziness. Intellection. This is probably one of my downfalls. Intellection, information, and knowledge. God uses those things to speak to you. He can speak to you even from Google. He can. If you're seeking His voice and you're asking Him for direction, and you, He can. But at the same time, don't believe everything you read on the internet or Facebook, and don't take spiritual guidance at face value from other sources. And your experience and your knowledge and your intellectual ability. I do believe God gives us a mind. He expects us to use our brains. But at the same time, we cannot rely, because that puts us back in the realm of listening to our flesh. It puts us back in the area of our own strength, our own will, our own intellect. We got to have discernment to know which of these things is the Spirit of God and which of these things are not. Discernment is the ability to judge well. In Christian context, it is the perception in the absence of judgment with a view to obtaining spiritual direction and understanding. Thessalonians 5:21 and 22 says, "But examine everything carefully, hold fast to that which is good, abstain from every form of evil." 1 John 4:1, "Do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world." There's some things I can tell you, and I've kind of touched on them, is not God. God never says anything that's going to contradict Scripture. God's voice is not the voice of anxiety, unsettledness, or exhaustion. You want to shut me down the quickest, try to make me rush a decision. Try to tell me I've got to do something now. You've got to act now. We got to do something now. I'm going to shut down. I'm going to, nope, because that is not, to me, the voice of God. That is a sure way to get me to just take 5 steps backwards and go to God, because nothing that God is going to give us to do is that urgent, that immediate. Now, He does expect obedience, and we need, when we know that we know that we're hearing from God, we don't need to delay our obedience. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying. But when someone tries to pressure you, when someone comes to you and, oh, you've got to do this. This is an opportunity you don't want to miss, and we got to do this. That's not God. And if, especially if you get anxious and you're torn and you're stressed and you can't, have any peace, that's not God speaking to you about that. God's voice is not obscure. We preach and teach a lot here about what we call the clear trumpet call. Again, there's no confusion. There's no contradiction in the voice of God. When He speaks, it will be clear, and you will discern and understand and know it's the voice of God. If there's confusion, if there's a lot of static and a lot of different voices saying different things, that's not God. Lastly, God's corrective voice is not one of guilt or condemnation. God is not going to put guilt. He is not going to speak to you in such a way as to make you feel awful and to heap guilt and condemnation on you. He does correct us, though, but His correction is loving. It's loving discipline and guidance, and He touches our heart to make us feel the conviction of sin in our heart without heaping guilt and condemnation because we failed to do something. That's not God. This is the last slide, if you were wondering. I said I was only going to speak about 20 minutes, but I'm about 30-something now. So what to do? How to be led by the Spirit? How to walk in the Spirit? Number one, surrender your heart to Christ with all your soul, mind, and strength. If you're not a Christian, if you're not surrendered to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, you cannot expect the things that I've talked about this morning to be evident in your life. You cannot expect to be hearing the voice of God leading you and guiding you if you're not first surrendered to Christ in your heart, not just for your salvation, but as your Lord. Number two, study the Word. Read the Word. Study to show yourself approved so that you can be that mature, full-grown son or child of God that is continually being led by the Spirit. Number three, seek to be baptized. And this is a whole message and topic or series by itself. Seek to be baptized with the Holy Spirit, filled with the Holy Spirit, baptized by Jesus. Jesus says, I will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. Seek that. Search it out. Read the Scriptures. If you don't know about it, ask someone who does to help you to seek and find that experience of being baptized and filled with the Holy Spirit, because then you're going to be more in tune. You're going to be able to hear His voice when He speaks to you clearly all the time. Pray without ceasing. These are just catchphrases out of the Scripture, but pray without ceasing. Pray in the Spirit. Pray with understanding. Pray. Number five, walk by faith and not by sight. You know, I've talked about circumstances and finances, and all those things are reality in our lives, and they are signs. They are like part of the road map, but we don't want to just pay attention to the map, remember. We want to listen to the voice of our guide. He knows about all these things. He knows where the rocks are and the pitfalls are. And He's going to speak to us when to go here and when to go there and guide us through them. So that's learning to walk by faith and trust and obey in His guidance. Trust your guide and obey His voice. This morning I don't have an altar call, but I just want to challenge you this week as you go about your life. Start your day by seeking the Lord, asking the Spirit to speak to you, and then keeping your ears tuned. Expect Him to speak. Expect Him to speak through all these things as you read the Word, as you pray, as you go about your work. Expect to be hearing the voice of God, and then listen and look. And when He speaks, obey. If you're not in a life group, I encourage you to find a life group. There's directories out on the pew. Every week we send out discussion questions now for about the last 4 weeks or so. Our life group leaders will be getting discussion questions about this message, and I encourage you in your life groups to take those questions and talk about it amongst yourselves. Share your own experiences of hearing the voice of God and walking in the Spirit. Amen. You are dismissed. Go and be blessed.